above the law that they alone get to decide if what they or their colleagues are doing is inappropriate or not.
An idea that goes back to the assumption that they're neutral and will objectively judge these things, which we've learned in several other podcast episodes that they're not.
Right. They are in no way neutral, as if they could be. Hi, welcome to The Shrinks on Third, our psychology and social justice podcast. I'm psychologist Julie Mayer.
And I'm psychologist Cindy Ariel. Welcome in.
Cindy, I can't get the Supreme Court out of my mind. I find myself thinking about those nine folk a lot.
Oh, geez, it's hard not to with the dubious decisions they've made.
Right? So we've had a number of podcasts discussing the Supreme Court. I guess we're still wrapping our minds around the body of justices who we used to look up to, who we thought were a trusted or trustworthy body of justices, but they really are not. So much more than I could ever have imagined.
Same. This time, we started hearing a lot about billionaires with cases coming up before the Supreme Court, whining and dining. Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito on free luxury vacations.
It's grotesque. And interestingly, the justices never mentioned these little excursions. Wonder why.
So when people found out about the trips, they feared there was corruption, or at best, inappropriate behavior on the court.
And you know, if it looks like corruption, smells like corruption, tastes like corruption, it's probably corruption, just saying.
In fact, the Senate Judiciary Committee had a vote scheduled on issuing subpoenas for a couple of said billionaires, but the vote was for some reason postponed.
Oh, how curious. With questions coming up about their potential impropriety, a few of the justices suggested the Supreme Court adopt its own code of ethics, code of conduct. It seems the idea was to quell a lot of the questions about the behavior of justices on the court and some accusations that they did not follow any ethical codes.
In other words, the court was under a bit of pressure to do something to show there was some ethical code being followed.
Which seems like a good idea, right?
Yes, and is there? Well, Julie, to address the situation, they came up with a code of conduct that will, according to them, prevent corruption so we don't have to worry our pretty little heads about it. And they'll monitor it themselves.
Wow, Cindy, that sounds corrupt.
Although Supreme Court justices do follow some of the same rules as lower court judges, like being required to file annual financial disclosure reports, they're not bound by the same code of conduct as the other judges.
Because who's going to do oversight for the highest court of the land? There's no one above them.
Correct. Research by a watchdog organization called Fix the Court showed that every one of the current nine Supreme Court justices have committed some type of ethical, oversight. Things like leaving stuff off their mandatory financial disclosures, or speaking at partisan fundraisers, or deciding on cases in spite of conflicts of interest.
In other words, and this is nauseating even to say, the Supreme Court justices are all for sale.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
And no surprise, their new code of ethics doesn't take care of that.
That is not surprising. You're right. Most of the rules outlined in the code aren't actually new anyway. But since it wasn't a published code, it made it seem like the Supreme Court justices don't actually have an ethics code to live by. But they say they do, so they published one. Very meaningful. Not.
But seriously, it's clear from this that they think they're above the rest of us. The so-called code of conduct doesn't address the issues of concern really at all. In fact, the wording is weak, And coming from these educated justices would seem like it's almost like they either think we're stupid or they don't care.
Could be both. The new code of conduct signed by all nine justices is weaker than existing codes or federal law. It's 14 pages and includes five principles of conduct on issues like when justices should recuse themselves from cases and what kinds of outside activities they can engage in.
For one thing, it's not binding or enforceable and doesn't actually make anything mandatory. And the best part is, like Julie said, it leaves the judgment of any inappropriateness of the justices to be decided by the justices themselves.
They are so above the law that they alone get to decide if what they or their colleagues are doing is inappropriate or not.
An idea that goes back to the assumption that they're neutral and will objectively judge these things, which we've learned in several other podcast episodes that they're not.
Right. They are in no way neutral, as if they could be. It actually seems unbelievable. But believe it, the Supreme Court is the only federal entity with no enforceable ethical code of conduct. None.
The one they just wrote pretty much gives them a pass on indiscretions. So their answer to possible impropriety on the court was to come up with a code of conduct that protects them from outside complaints about it.
Right. They'll protect their little exclusive nine-person club.
Apparently, one of the changes they made to the current federal code was that the justices went through them and basically replaced the word shall with the word should in a bunch of places, which, if you think about it, really changes the strength of the code.
And not in a good way. So let's reflect on that for a moment, shall we? Or should we? Saying you shall do something is usually a command to do the thing. If you shall do something, it's mandatory. If you should do something or may do something, that leaves a whole lot more wiggle room for whether you really have to do the thing or not.
Yes. So, for example, the federal statute about judge recusals from cases is worded as, any justice shall disqualify himself in any proceeding in which his impartiality might reasonably be questioned. To be supremely unethical, the Supreme Court used the word should instead of shall.
So right now, you listeners might be thinking, this sounds kind of petty. But to say that any justice should disqualify himself sounds very different from saying any justice shall disqualify himself. They don't have to if they don't want to when it should, regardless of whether there's a conflict of interest.
Also, by the way, there are non-male justices on the court, so it's time to use they-them pronouns when talking about Supreme Court justices as a body. But we digress.
Yeah, they're not the most progressive thinkers, so that's not likely to happen. We're talking about the fact that the justices literally went through the current federal code to come up with their own code. And that code of ethics now uses the word should in place of a stronger word like shall or must or may not. Not all, but most of these words were watered down with the word should. Why would they do that? I think we know why.
And it didn't stop there. Their changes actually let the justices themselves decide whether they should recuse themselves from cases and doesn't lay out times when they must.
As we said, it actually weakens those times and offers a lax system where billionaires and others with business before the court can wine and dine and gift Supreme Court justices, and they would not have to recuse themselves from cases involving those same people. It is not a good look. In fact, it's ugly.
In most cases, the people wining and dining the justices or taking them on luxury vacations and giving them expensive gifts stand to profit in big ways from the decisions that the justices might make. These types of gifts should never be acceptable.
Of course not. Other government employees, including judges on lower courts, are bound by significantly stronger ethics codes than the Supreme Court justices, which is the opposite of what we would expect of those who are supposed to be held in the very highest esteem.
An average federal employee can't accept any gift from any person who, quote, conducts activities regulated by the employee's agency, or who, another quote, has interests that may be substantially affected by the performance or non-performance of the employee's official duties.
Right. Federal employees cannot accept gifts valued at more than $50 per year. There's an exception on accepting gifts from friends, but there's still limits to those gifts. Way less, by the way, than a free home or a vacation or a giant RV.
There should be limits on gifts accepted by Supreme Court justices, and also maybe a definition of friends.
I don't think they should get gifts from friends either. Anyway, members of Congress and their staff are not allowed to accept gifts from anyone who is not a family member or close personal friend, whatever the definition is. Why doesn't that apply to the highest court in the land?
Members of Congress and their staff also can't accept more than $100 in gifts annually, and they need approval from the House or Senate Ethics Committee to accept gifts from personal friends valued over $250. Even presidents and their families are required to publicly disclose gifts that are over a certain dollar amount, and the amount is much less than the cost of a luxury cruise.
Absolutely. The Supreme Court is the only federal entity with no enforceable ethical code of conduct, and these new, non-binding ethical guidelines absolutely don't provide one either.
No wonder our trust in the institution is at an all-time low. We would expect the justices' behavior to be impeccable, as they have a really serious and powerful lifetime job. Instead, they just formally adopted a code of conduct that is not binding or effective.
Right. So Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee have proposed legislation to impose a new ethics code on the court. And this, at least to me, makes a lot of sense.
Well, sure, because to really make a change here, the Senate would have to vote on an actually enforceable code of conduct for the Supreme Court.
The court itself wanted the chance to come up with its own basic ethical standards, but the standards they put forth let us know that they obviously can't be trusted to be in charge of that. It's clear they're not going to enforce standards that we all would agree to.
I also read somewhere that at least one of the justices is questioning whether anyone has the authority to impose a code on them, which will be interesting.
How surprising.
But in addition to what we've already mentioned, the code they wrote requires the justices to, quote from the code, avoid impropriety and the appearance of impropriety in all activities. But it doesn't, you know, define the improprieties or address how possible violations would be investigated or enforced.
Right. The honor system of justices handling ethics issues clearly hasn't worked. If the nine justices are in charge of their own behavior, how can we trust they'll do anything but cover for one another, which they've already been doing?
Exactly. One issue that comes up with potential recusals is that since the court has only nine justices and cases can't be reassigned to anyone else, the justices have what they call a duty to sit, if at all possible. So if several justices are required to recuse themselves because of conflicts of interest, this comes into conflict with their duty to sit. So what wins, we see, is the duty to sit.
Yeah, but built into that is if they stopped taking so many gifts from billionaires, they wouldn't have so many conflicts of interest.
Correct.
And then they would just sit.
They would just do their job?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, it's true, though, that there are only nine of them. So maybe, you know, the fact that some of them shouldn't be sitting because they have conflicts of interest, maybe that's another reason to argue for adding more justices to the court.
That seems like a good argument for that.
Yeah.
According to the organization we mentioned earlier, Fix the Court, they've been saying this since 2014 about the Supreme Court.
Quote, they told us where we can pray, picked our president, allowed billionaires to buy elections, and made choices of life and death. Nine justices appointed for life to a court that makes its own rules and has disdain for openness and transparency. The Supreme Court, America's most powerful, least accountable government institution, unquote.
Well, I think they summed it up very nicely. Fix the court, it's kind of a little bit of a play on words, is a nonpartisan 501c3 organization that advocates for fixes to make the federal courts and primarily the U.S. Supreme Court more open and more accountable to the American people. You can find them at fixthecourt.com.
Also, if you'd like to read the recently written code of conduct for justices for yourself, just for laughs, you can find it at supremecourt.gov/about/codeofconductforjustices.aspx. Thanks for joining us.
You can find us at shrinksonthird.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Shrinks on Third. Till next time,
take care.